I'm talking today with Abilene Police Chief Stan Standridge about arrests in recent months on charges related to sex crimes against children. Our conversation may not be suitable for younger listeners. Over 2 days at the end of June, Abilene Police partnered with other law enforcement to arrest 13 people who had online interactions that were sexual in nature with people they thought were minors. Some of the suspects were arrested as they traveled to an arranged meeting with a supposed child. The sting was the result of a collaboration between the Abilene Police Department's Cybercrimes Unit and the Texas Department of Public Safety's Criminal Investigations Division. It was the biggest one-day arrest, but for months, law enforcement in Abilene has been zeroing in on people who target kids online or those who are engaging in child pornography. Four others were arrested earlier in June, and another four were charged in May. Later this week, the Abilene Police Department and partnering agencies will host a community conversation at Southern Hills Church of Christ. The meeting is aimed at educating parents and other community members on how to keep kids safe online, and they stress that they do not want children at the event. Police Chief Stan Standridge does join me in the studio. I think these cases are pretty scary for parents. They're also sensational. It also feels like they get a lot of media attention. Is there an increase in this type of crime, or do you think that it just feels like it?
I think there is an increase in this type of crime due to the advent of social media. And so there are a plethora of social media sites out there, which, by the way, have a legal reason to exist, which are being abused by those who know how to do it, and then those suspects then try to exploit our children. Apps, we'll have to scrub that.
The social media apps.
Yeah, social media apps, yeah.
At the time of the arrest, you announced the results of the sting, and you mentioned that you were hopeful that federal charges would also be filed against the suspects. Can you update us on that?
The reason we sometimes seek federal prosecution versus state prosecution is the amount of time that the offender will actually be confined. So typically in a federal penitentiary, you're going to do true day for day. Whereas in a state penitentiary, you could do, depending on the level of offense, only a third of your time. And so we have ongoing conversations with the AUSA, the Assistant United States Attorney, and we make that decision in collaboration with her, whether or not she wants to prosecute that charge federally. If not, then we'll go through the state charge.
So have they started to pursue federal charges against any of those suspects?
Yes, many of them will have already been filed. Now, having said that, it's as far as the investigation, it's pretty simple to go out there and find the offenders, just because there are so many offenders and there are so many apps that are being used. The difficult part is the case investigation and the case workload following the arrest. Everybody thinks that once you make the arrest, you're done and you just file it. No, there's a tremendous amount of investigative work that occurs on the back end. Well, we're still doing that because we've had so many arrests in such a short period of time. So it could be months before some of those cases are filed.
I know that at the time you also said that the suspects, some of them, either confessed or had other evidence of other crimes. How usual is that for someone being arrested to admit to more than what they're being arrested for?
Oh, it's not uncommon for us to arrest an offender. And then upon subsequent search of his home, we find evidence of him abusing his own children or stepchildren. So it's not uncommon for us to make ancillary arrests related to the primary charge. I wish it were uncommon, but it's not.
The day that you were making these announcements, you said, "We cannot arrest our way out of this problem." I want to start by asking you to define the problem for me. When you say we can't arrest our way out of it, what do you mean?
The problem as I see it is an abundance of social media apps that are legal, that are being abused by offenders to sexually exploit our children. The problem is deepened in the fact that many of our parents, admittedly even me, do not understand the technology as well as our kids. Consequently, it's hard to protect our kids against online exploitation. And so the problem is we have plenty of people who are willing to exploit children. History has shown us that. And this is not unique to Abilene. I want to stress that to everybody. This is not unique. This is perhaps unique to humanity. So the problem, as far as scope, is wide. some of the solutions are to come by, which is why we're going to have this community conversation.
I want to get to the community conversation in a minute, but are there things that the folks in Austin or in Washington, D.C. could be doing that would help you do your job when it comes to keeping kids safe online?
Well, I'm going to start at the level of my influence. So I'll start with my circle of influence. I have currently two full-time detectives and a sergeant who oversees these two detectives assigned to cybercrimes. It's a new unit we started in 2016. You could give me 10 more detectives today, and I still wouldn't have enough. That's how abundant the work is. And so it's a capacity issue, not a willingness issue. We absolutely have the willingness to go after these offenders. It's building our capacity. We're going to have to do that over time. Because if you can magically give me 10 new officers, I'd probably have to put them on the streets to be responsive to 911. And so we are making a conscious decision and have since 2016 that we are going to protect our most vulnerable, which are our children. Doing that is tough, which is why I said we cannot arrest our way out of this situation. We need everybody's help.
So you said that you started this new focus in 2016. How many arrests have you been making when it comes to child sex or child pornography cases?
I'm not sure I could off the cuff quantify the number of arrests, but I'm going to look at the number of services that we see through our Child Advocacy Center. And we are averaging about 400 children every year for either sexual abuse or physical abuse. So I also want to say that as it relates to an online presence, you have no idea who you're dealing with. Yet we continue to advance this narrative, this concept of stranger danger. So let's step out of the internet world and let's talk about the physical presence of our families and our kids. One of the ongoing concerns is our kids know who is abusing them because it's occurring within the home or the extended home. So the last couple of years, we've had zero stranger danger issues. It's all occurred within the home by known offenders. The same is not true for the online exploitation, but it certainly is for what's occurring in our home. And so, you know, how do we protect our children? Well, if you're talking about the physical protection of the children, you've got to be very mindful of what's going on in your home, in their friends' homes, in the extended homes. When it comes to online exploitation, that's the tough one.
As you mentioned, it's not just a local problem. We've seen so many charges of abuse in institutions, human trafficking of children. Some of these things are making national news, such as Jeffrey Epstein. Do you think it's possible to protect our kids online?
I think it is possible most of the time. We're going to have to bridge the gap of knowledge between our children and our adults. We are going to have to apply filters. Contrary to the kids' objections, we're going to have to put those filters on. We are absolutely going to have to monitor. We're going to have to know kids' passwords. We are going to have to become, and some people are going to say, oh, we're going to have to become helicopter parents. Well, imagine, would you ever take your child to a warehouse with a bunch of sex offenders and say, hey, I'll be back in 2 hours, and leave that child there? That's exactly what you're doing with unmonitored internet. That's the exact same risk. And so we have to, number one, be intentional. We have to increase the communication about what's really going on. We have to educate our parents. And then we have to step into that parental role in a very robust manner.
Is there a way to balance keeping our kids safe without them growing up in a constant state of fear?
That's a good question. At this point, I would say that we're so far from even having that concern. I fear that too many of us as parents have said, this is just too hard for me to understand. It's technology. I've never been good at technology. And so what we do is we kind of wash our hands and we just pray for the best. When I talked to cybercrimes recently, I thought we were dealing with older, tech-savvy teenagers. No, the kids that are being exploited are as young as 8 years of age. And so my message is, yeah, I would love to see that euphoric world that you describe. My message is, hey, we've got to get into the arena, and we need to do it now.
So Thursday, your department and other law enforcement agencies will hold the community conversation that you mentioned earlier. What would people get from attending?
So as you pointed out, we're asking that children not come. Cyber crimes will do this presentation as they speak this language. Again, I said, I'm one of those adults who struggle with all of the technology associated with these cell phones. And so I'm going to be in the audience, and I'm going to be learning right alongside our community. What I would like to see is we have as many as 1,000 people. It needs to be a packed house. In fact, there needs to be so many people who attend that we have to do it several more times. By the way, we're protecting our most vulnerable, so everybody should come out. And so I want to see a good attendance. And then we're going to hear a couple of case studies. That's important. A case study is going to be typified by a detective explaining an actual case. You know, we're going to take all the names out so that parents can understand how does this play out. How does this start out as perceivably innocuous and then become literally a very serious offense where this offender is trying to meet with my child? How does that play out? We'll do a couple of case studies. We're going to actually show them some of the legal apps, applications on cell phones, and then explain, okay, how it's actually being used. One of the things that I learned is a child could be playing an online video game, and they're competing against other persons who are actual people in other cities, even other states. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea, but there's the ability to chat. There's ongoing dialogue through these video games. Often what happens is the suspects will tell said child, hey, go to this platform so that they can further engage about the game when in reality it's a trap. But if you've got a 10 or 11-year-old who's never had any of this kind of knowledge, they're going to quickly go there. And then ultimately, this was the scary part, and this is what I want to leave with the parents who are listening. I asked the detective in cyber crimes, I said, yeah, but why wouldn't the child speak out? Why wouldn't the child alert the parents that, hey, something really just weird happened? Well, the offenders are threatening these kids. If you tell anybody, I will kill your parents. That is sobering. Now, having said that, we're not going to give away our trade craft, right? Because we need to remain very skilled at what we're doing. So cyber crimes is going to give us enough information so that we can protect our kids without divulging some of our trade craft.
I'm going to circle back around to the parents who aren't monitoring or haven't been monitoring. What would you say to these parents when the kids say, why are you doing this now? Why are you invading my privacy? You know, if you've got an older teen who's had a phone or been online for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden you want to start having their passwords and monitoring what they're doing, what's the argument that you give to parents?
Well, let's deal with the obvious. So we arrested, I think you said 12 or 13 in that 24-hour time period. And then if you'll recall, I did a joint press conference with the Department of Public Safety. Most people don't realize after I went public and explained what we were doing in collaboration with DPS, we arrested 2 more people. So even after we divulged that there's this sting that just occurred, we have 2 more people almost immediately hit and ultimately are arrested. So they're out there and they are actively targeting your children as young as 8 and obviously up into adulthood. So if it's there, let's stop ignoring it. So what would I tell the parent who's going to get pushback from the child? Be the parent.
If a parent or community member is interested in this question but can't be there Thursday, they've got another commitment, they're out of town, is there going to be a way for people to access the presentation, or will there be other events like this in the future?
Again, depending upon attendance, I'm very reluctant to record this message for obvious reasons. I don't really want to give suspects any edge over our children. So if we fill the sanctuary at Southern Hills, then we're going to do it again. And we'll do it until we stop filling the sanctuary. It's that important. And the persons assigned to cybercrimes are absolutely committed because they concede quickly. that you can't arrest your way out of this. So they need the parents' help.
Well, thank you so much for your work on this and for your leadership, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Stan Standridge is chief of police for the Abilene Police Department. The community conversation will begin at 6:30 this Thursday at Southern Hills Church of Christ on Buffalo Gap Road. Organizers ask that children not attend the session, but would invite parents, educators, business owners, and others to come and learn about protecting children from online exploitation. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.